Lord, we just thank you and praise you for another opportunity to get into your word this evening. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you give us, the instruction, the help. Your great mercy is at work in our lives, and we are thankful for that. And we are open tonight, every ear and every heart, to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So we receive it by faith tonight. In advance, we praise you for your good word. Amen. Amen. Turning back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. We'll begin this session off by talking about the hope. Amen. Many people think the message, the central message of hope has to do with the return of the Lord, our ascent into heaven and to live in the bliss of heaven forevermore. But that's not the only hope that the Bible talks about. Amen. That hope is so blessed that it is multifaceted. Amen. And there is a hope that is in operation in the hearts of believers that are listening. Amen. Paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour that ushers us into a place of the manifestation of God's glory. Amen. We, as a people of God, really shouldn't desire to get there before the glory has been manifested in our lives. Amen. Because we want to have that testimony when we go on to the other side. We want to have that as a testimony. I know we're going to have glorified bodies. And, you know, there won't be any judgment. There won't be this condescending thing happening or any of those traits of the human nature, the fallen human nature experience. But, you know, there still could be some form of intimidation on the part of those who just never really paid any attention to the things of God at all. You know, they just were living in that place where their answer was always going to be going home to be with the Lord. That's it. But I just believe that the hope that he's talking about here has to do with our experiencing what Jesus experienced in his obedience to God in the earth realm. I just have to believe that. Now, we just come out of a session where we're dealing with, you know, our inner reborn experience is craving the immortalness of God, the immortal, the glorious, the, you know, that supernatural place wherein we are manifested as the sons of God. Just, you know, I mean, right now, you know, pretty much on the whole, we're not manifested as the sons of God in the view of creation or the rest of mankind. Amen. When that happens, there's no question. There's no question. See, there are those that can argue with you now as to whether or not you have the true and undefiled religion. They can argue the fact. And they can argue that fact with you because of what little demonstration is coming out of your life, out of my life, that attests to the glorious God that we serve. Amen? Amen? Amen. But you see, when we enter into this place where we are manifested as the sons of God. Now, who's going to question that? Amen. Amen. Who's going to question that? There's no one that's going to question that. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be welcome and received, because they still killed all of the apostles. They're walking around in the manifested glory of God, and people still hate them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to tell you that you're going to find yourself transformed into this place where you're just going to become the most lovable person in the whole world. Because you're just walking in glory. Amen? No. There are going to be those that are haters of the things of God and worshipers of devils and demons that still want to annihilate you because you resemble God. Amen? Because you resemble God. A believer walking in the manifested glory of God, which simply, you know, to put it in terms that we can look at in a practical sense, because a lot of times a lot of people think that, you know, you're so heavenly minded and what you're sharing, nobody understands it. You ascended into such revelation, it sounds like the a rational down the earth mind couldn't even understand that. You know, well, that's just the carnal mind expressing itself, basically. But to walk in the glory is you and I being clad fully in the armor of God, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth tightened about us. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're fully clad in the armor of God. See? So that's walking in the glory. And again, to walk in that place is not for you and I to just mechanically every day say, I'm going to put on the armor of God. Amen. I'm putting on the armor of God. Get up and sing your little chorus. I'm putting on the armor of God. That's not what he's talking about. Because grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's how it is. That's how you are clad in the armor of God, is through the holy information, the divine instruction of the Scriptures that you have accepted into your heart and life. And it has radically changed the way you view life. You don't have a world's view like you had before. Now you have a supernatural world's view from God's perspective, what God wants to do in the earth, you know. And it's going to go far beyond Peace Corps and, you know, the various little things that you could do in a humanitarian way in the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you are equipped with divine instruction, and it secures you as a helmet of salvation. What's happening there? Now your mind has been renewed, and you have the mind of Christ. That's what that helmet securely represents. You have the mind of Christ. All right, the breastplate of righteousness. Well, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is seeking out how he does life. So the breastplate of righteousness, that means you've got your chest out in the things of God. Amen. You're walking boldly in the things. You're walking out with your chest out. Amen. You're walking boldly in the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Right. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Right? So where you walk, as you have been prepared by the gospel, is going to bring peace to those that are willing to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's going to bring a sword to those who don't. You understand that? Amen. You're walking differently now. I mean, your every step counts. They've been ordered by the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you gird about your loins with the belt of truth. Truth will keep you in a place where you are securing God. The devil just can't flip-flop you just because you go through things in life. All of us have issues. You're human, aren't you? My God, you're human. I was just telling a brother this weekend, you know, in a lot of the Holy Ghost spirit-filled meetings that we're in, there are still not manifestations of the Word of God coming forth to deal with issues in our lives like there should be. They're still dealing with your physical ailments. Somebody needs to be healed in their spine, or somebody's, you know, got some injury in their leg or in their hip or their thigh or a foot's out of joint, and all that's wonderful. Yeah, but you see, when you walk over into this place of the manifested glory, you're going to be dealing with people and issues other than just their physical ailments. And you'll have words of knowledge and words of wisdom that can bring healing into their lives and issues that they've never told anybody about. Would be ashamed to do it. Right? Jesus operated in the gift of healing to bring deliverance to people who were oppressed of the devil. They were bound in physical ailments and things. And he said, you would do those works, and even greater works than those would you do. So there's a word for you that can bring healing to you in your innermost being in regard to some oppression that you got as you were very young, that hindered your growth and your development as God intended for you to be. You've heard of molecular structure? Hallelujah. Man, when you receive God's DNA, when you're born again, you receive God's DNA. Amen. Sometimes there's got to be a word to come forth to cause there to be an explosion on the inside of you so that that DNA can just come up and take over some stuff and set you free. And you may never tell anybody about it, but you got your freedom. That's salvation. And that's what the Lord came to give. Hallelujah. To set you free on your innermost being in areas that you wouldn't dare tell anybody about it because they would say you're not even saved. Things that will haunt you in your mind. Reoccurring, you know, oppressions, depression, things that happen in the lives of people that we never talk about. Because if we did, people would think we were schizophrenic. Yeah, they would think you're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yeah? Or one of their wives. Moving right along. Hallelujah. All right. So, we're talking about rediscovering that glory. If we rediscover the glory in the realm that God wants us to, then we're going to be totally and completely set free. In every area of our lives, we're going to be totally and completely free from any oppression of the devil in any form whatsoever. Because we're walking in the manifested glory of God. Now, that's what every Christian wants, but every Christian doesn't have the boldness, you know, to walk into that because we are dismissing things. We're saying we don't need the Holy Ghost today. We're saying we don't need tongues today. Right? There are whole denominations that are afraid of the Holy Ghost. And anybody who has a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in their lives. You can talk about it all you want, and I can't understand why God allows certain manifestations to come forth in the body of Christ the way that he has. But it's like he's not nervous about it. There used to be shouting Baptists. Man, they acted Pentecostal. I'm talking about old line, spirit-filled, shouting Baptists. Man, they were all over the place. Yeah, and there's been all kinds of manifestations, and people have tried to talk some of them away and say that they were manifestations of the devil. You don't want to have anything to do with that. Have you ever been to heaven? Have you? Has anybody in here ever been to heaven? You haven't, have you? Well, why don't you just ask God to take you there and let you visit a little while so you can come back and tell us about manifestations of the Spirit of God. I believe you'll come back and do some things differently. You will have a certain confidence and boldness on your life like you've never had before. That's right. And you'll be able to speak things boldly without any fear of the consequences. Because you know where you're going, so kill me. Go ahead. Amen. You have to get rid of the fear of death. You got to get rid of the fear of getting a demon. Being afraid of spiritual things. You got to get rid of that fear. That's right. There's no fear in love. Perfect love, perfect love, perfect love. Casteth out fear. Amen. There's nothing for us to be afraid of. I'm the type of believer that even when I don't even try to do it, I end up on the front row in church. Even when I don't try, I end up on the front row. Because there's supposed to be more power and glory up front. So I end up on the front row. Every time my wife and I go to a conference, somebody come and get us and ask us if we want to sit on the front row. I don't even, we be way back there hitting. Would y'all like to come and sit on the front? And here we go. That's right. Okay? Because I'm not afraid of it. Amen. And if I get up to the front and you're not of God, I'm still not afraid of it. Amen. What do I have to fear? You're just a man. Amen. Or a woman. You're just whatever. You know, I'm not afraid. Right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Now, so he talks about our hope here. It says that, verse 22, we know, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 22, says, we know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. What pains of labor? What pains of labor? See, you're laboring to do something, right? But you're laboring to do something. You are laboring to have a manifestation in your life based on what you believe. You're looking for confirmation to what you believe. And where we get in trouble is that we don't take our belief and set it up beside the Word of God to judge it. That's where we get in trouble. See, I don't want to believe anything that I didn't really ascertain from the scripture. I don't want to have a personal opinion or a personal belief about anything that I can't support by the scripture. See, so you have to take, you're laboring. You are laboring. Believe me, you are. You want to believe that you're doing what God has called you to do. You want to believe that. That's what you want to believe. You want to believe that you're doing exactly what God's called you to do. You're in the place that God wants you to be. And that you're not moving because this is God. And so all of your effort inwardly is laboring toward what you believe in that. And you look for confirmation to that. Right? And you're getting blood out of turnips in some situations to make sure that it is agreeing with what you believe. Yeah, we do that. That is a natural phenomenon of the human person, our personalities. You know, there's a need in us, in our humanness, for us to be all right, okay. Right? And we're wary of someone challenging that. We're wary of it. And it keeps you from getting into that manifested place of God's glory. It does. See? It's comfortable and safe in that place where you like to believe I'm doing God's will. Amen. I believe that I'm in the will of the Lord. Praise God, I do. Amen. I'm willing to listen to what you're saying. I'll listen. But. Amen. And it depends really on how deeply you are engrossed in that as to the size of your butt when you butt. I mean, you know, when you butt. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. And in some cases, it's harder to get it out of the way. because you made it so. You know, that's self-infliction, ain't it?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Praise God. Amen. 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 All right. Verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come. We as well now, we're groaning inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. For the redemption of our bodies. For the redemption of our bodies. We see that as a removal of our bodies from the planet. Don't we? That's what we see. That's why we preach heaven so strong. Because that is our rescue. That is our salvation, is to be removed from a sinful planet and taken into heaven. That's what we believe. And that's what we preach in the body of Christ. See? Jesus was tried, tempted, tested in all manner like unto us and sin not. Right? Now, I could get into a whole line of teaching that has to do with, well, he did that as an anointed man. You can too. I could get into that. Right? And there's some validity in that type of teaching. But what God gave us was an opportunity to be baptized into this glory, even though we haven't done it as completely and perfectly as Jesus did. See? Because if he wanted us to teach that kind of doctrine, you know, that you can absolutely 100% be perfect and never sin again. If he wanted us to teach that, that would be so dangerous, because it would get over in the law and works, and you're doing it. But what he did on the opposite was he gave us grace. Right? And he says, if you fall seven times, you won't be utterly cast down. Amen. Glory to God. He just keeps saying, get up, let's go. Get up, let's go. Get up, let's go. You never hear him say, shouldn't you stop over here at the rest stop for a little while? Get up, let's go. Amen? Because he sees what you and I should be progressing toward. Now, we can see that too, if we're willing to get on God's, you know, plan. We can see where he's going in our lives too, if we're willing to get on that. Right? If we're willing to get on it, we can see it, because he'll reveal it to us, because the Bible says that we hold the thoughts and the feelings of God in our regenerate, born-again spirit. We hold that. So it's possible for us to see where we're going. Amen. So, and then we can enter into a labor in spiritual things. And we can begin to labor in that realm. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Brother, I don't count myself to have attained. I press toward it. See? But we need to have a vision of what we're pressing toward. What God desires out of our lives. What he is expecting. What can actually be accomplished in us and through us. That's what he's looking for, and that's what we need a vision of. See, if we can get the proper vision, we'll leave a lot of other stuff aside. It won't even bother us. You can't threaten me when I know what the will of God is for my life. You can't hold up, you know, my job before me and say, well, if you want this job, then you're going to do this. No, you might as well forget that. You're not my source. You can't use that against me. Right? No. Even down to your person. Even down to your person. The threat of death and harm. You overcome that. You've overcome it. See, you have the greater one in you. Right? But he says, even if they do kill you, if they take your life and kill the body, they can't kill you. How many times have you quoted that this week? Is that in your confessions, proclamations, declarations? Though they take the life of my body, yet you can't kill me. Right? Jesus said, no man takes my life, right? But I freely give it. He freely gave his life so that we wouldn't have to. See? So, I mean, if our body ceased to be, yet I'm still not dead. I'm still not dead. I can't die. I cannot die. Amen. So you overcome the fear of death. There's so many things that we just have to just work out in our hearts and our minds so that we can, with boldness, proceed on and seek on after God. Right? And just press into what he has for us in life. I'm trying to build this up to this whole matter of hope. Right? We ourselves too have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come. Now, remember, this is the Apostle Paul talking about this, right? He's talking about this, and he's talking about how that this reception of the Holy Spirit into our lives, Paul's experience with being born again was a little different from the rest of the apostles. He didn't believe in Jesus when he was walking on the face of the earth, so he didn't regard him as a prophet. And he fought against all that. You know, he's not mentioned in the scripture while Jesus is walking out doing his ministry, but he was there. He was a Pharisee, and he was in agreement with the Pharisees against Jesus. Right? All right? This hatred toward the Jews that were following Jesus was fermenting in him throughout all of that time. Fermenting in him. And he had a hatred toward all believers. And it just like came to a head and manifested. And then he was granted certain things from the high priest to go out and persecute them, put them in jail. Right? Right? So when the Lord said, okay, now it's time to go and anoint another servant. Amen. Another son. He doesn't realize who he is. I got to go down and tell him. He doesn't realize that before he was born, he was chosen. See, he didn't realize it. So he met him, and all Jesus had to do was just show up. He just showed up and said, Saul, are you just speaking to the man? What's the big deal? You know, I greet you. I say, hey, how you doing? Saul. It knocks him off his horse. Yeah. And he is blinded with Jesus' greeting. Not too many people get saved that way. Most people don't lose their eyesight when they get saved. He blasted him with glory. He gave him a taste of the glory before he knew anything about the glory. And he said, Lord, who are you? Right? And he was surprised when he said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now, that spoke to Saul because he's persecuting the ones that testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He never seen Jesus, or in the scripture doesn't say. He may have seen him sometime during the course of Jesus' ministry during that 3.5 years. It's possible. But the Bible doesn't say that he did. At least we haven't found it yet. Right? There's a whole lot in there we hadn't found yet. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there he is. He sees Jesus there for the first time, as far as we know. He sees Jesus for the first time. I'm good. And so, hello, how you doing? Bam! Loses his eyesight. Oh, by the way, you're persecuting me. When you persecute my children, my followers, you're persecuting me. So he got a revelation before he was completely born again about what he was doing. He was persecuting Jesus, right? Now, it gets his attention because, you know, I don't care. You can buy two pair of glasses for $69.95 all you want to. He ain't seeing nothing until Jesus. He not going to see nothing until the Lord opens his eyes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And he got so healed so good he didn't need glasses after that. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus. Anyway. He says, what would you have me to do? So the repentance has begun. What would you have me to do? It didn't take long. This was one more fast work in this man's life. This is in a moment's time. He's changed. What would you have me to do? When he's been following the orders of the high priest, got all kind of authority. Jews are afraid of him as a person, as a persecutor. And he says to the Lord Jesus, what would you have me to do? Amen. Well, we'll get to that. Right now, you just go over to a place there and stay at this fellow's house, and we'll get to it. Why are you in such a hurry? Hurry up, Lord. You want to see something. Amen. You ready to go, aren't you? No, you're not. He wasn't either. And we'll get to that. Amen. And then he tells him what's going to happen. And there are some things I'm sure that the Lord ministered to Saul before Ananias ever came and prayed for him. Because there was a few days there he had fasted. How many days was it? About 3 days. Didn't have anything to drink, nothing to eat for 3 days and nights. Amen. That's the kind of fast God needs to put us on. Amen. Pray. He needs to put us on a fast. Amen. Glory to God. That first crowd that listened to the message in the first session was talking about macaroni and cheese and banana pudding. They couldn't hear this, but you can hear this. Amen. You're more spiritual. Hey, the Lord will put you on a fast. Amen. And you'll fast some things that you didn't think up yourself. It'll be things that God gave. Saul is fasting for what? How come he can't eat? How come he can't drink? Usually you go on the fast because you are dealing with a certain thing or whatever. You need answers or whatever. Well, the Lord put him on the fast for what? He's transitioning from the old, the law, to the new. God's doing a supernatural work in a man without anybody teaching him. Oh, glory, I feel something in that. God, Hammer. Oh, no one teaching him. 3 days and three nights. I'm telling you, this man who is brilliant, he's a Pharisee. He memorized the first 5 books of the Torah. He knows the law inside and out. And the Lord Jesus is instructing this man while he is on. I guarantee you, you know what? I don't even believe that the man slept for 3 days and three nights. Not did he only not eat, but I believe he was awake and was listening. Just, if you saw him, probably look like Ray Charles. His head just going back and forth as he's listening to the Lord. As the Lord spoke to him. Yeah. And probably, the guy that he was staying with, what was his name? On the street called Straight. He's staying with one Ananias. Ananias is the guy he was staying with, right? So I'm sure Ananias would peek into the room and he's in there going, oh yeah, and the Holy Ghost is saying we're going to make it do what it do. Yeah, and he's being renewed on the inside. Change, see, going from the old to the new. I mean, this man came out of that experience after The other fellow came and prayed for him, and somebody will help me with his name in a minute. But he spoke to this guy, and he told him, go over. He's at Ananias' place on a street called Straight. He said he has seen you coming to pray for him and his eyes being open. That's what he said, right? So he's now, after he's heard all of this, now he's waiting in expectation. He knows that his eyes are going to be open. You can't tell me that God just told him for 3 days and three nights. All he said was that your eyes will open and you'll be healed. Your eyes will be open and you'll be healed. Your eyes will be open and you'll be healed. You think that's all God said to him for 3 days and three nights? No. All of that brilliant understanding in the law was culminating and coming together in the person of Jesus Christ. He had a revelation now that Jesus is the Messiah. So everything that he studied in the law and the Pentateuch that brings some kind of light to the suffering servant who is the Messiah, the lamb that was slain and whose blood is spilled for the remission of all of our sin. And you can no doubt visualize this man having visions and revelation coming to him as he sees the high priest, you know, taking the blood of the lamb after it has been slit, his throat has been slit and his blood poured out on, and the high priest taking it and pouring it out on the altar before God. And see that as the person of Jesus Christ himself, his blood that he spilled at Calvary was that blood that we've been talking about in all of these messages and all of our instructions. All of this is going through him and he's getting the revelation. And he realizes what he's now received. So, you know, after this gentleman prays for him there in that place, Ananias prays for him. Well, what's the guy's name that owns the house where he's staying on the street called Straight? Who? Justice. Okay. All right. So after he comes in, right, and he prays for him and he receives his sight, what's the first thing the man does? He testifies and preaches about Jesus. Well, he can't go out and preach the law. So Jesus has been instructing him. So he started preaching Jesus. He started telling the priest, we don't need you. We don't need this temple. We don't need no more slaughtering all these precious lambs. The lamb has been slain for the remission of our sins. Now he got that within 3 days. Hallelujah. This man, through his born-again experience, entered into the glory in just a few days. And he begins to operate out of that glory, that manifested glory on his life. See, because God was ready for him to go to work. Now, I have to admit that because of his background and all of his study and his expertise in the scriptures, he was in a place so that that could take place in his life. Right? He was already prepared. He was just believing the wrong thing and going in the wrong direction with it. And Jesus, within 3 days, oh man, he revitalized. He brought resurrection power into that man and changed him inside and out. He was a new man before he got new eyesight. Amen? And it's just like Jesus to do it in 3 days. I mean, after all, he was in hell for 3 days and three nights before he was resurrected. So it's just like him to do it that way. He just went inside of Saul and just straightened out all the hell. That's all he did. He just brought heaven, the power of heaven, into all that hell. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, so we're laboring with what we have been given. So don't count yourself out because you may not have a godly heritage behind you, right? You might have been like the feuding families
the McCoys and them other folk. That might be in your background. Amen. But that doesn't matter. God takes you where you are, and he will take you into the place of his manifested glory regardless of that. Forget your past, forgetting those things which are behind. Just forget that, man. Come on, stop testifying about how rough your family was. Come on, stop testifying about how tough and how bad and how perverted. Nobody won't want to know that. Tell me about the glory. Tell me about what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is doing. That old man has passed away. Why go out and resurrect that Dracula in the first place? Come on, we need to be talking about the new, don't we? That's what we need to be doing. That's important. It's the new that's going to bring life. Amen. And when you get those people delivered out there on the street that is like you used to be, instruct them not to talk about their past. It's a new day. Come on now, it's a new day. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people, you know, they glory in their past, and their whole ministry is built around the testimony of how bad they were. You keep talking about all that old experience, you can't ever get a vision of what God has called you to. How are you going to see what God's called you to if all you're talking about and thinking about is your past? Do you recognize in the scripture where Paul got into any old ministry at all? Where he talked about any old ministry at all? He could have got in there and started teaching that old stuff. Man, he taught the new stuff so strong they were trying to kill him. They had to let him out of town down the wall in a basket. And he took off running because it wasn't time for nobody to be killing him. He just got started in his ministry. Amen. They tried to stone him to death. Why? Because he wasn't building them up in the old. He was giving them revelation about what we have now through Christ. And so we're going to kill you. They stoned him. Left him for dead. The disciples stood around him. God said, that's all right, I got this. He just raised up while the disciples standing around. They ain't said a word. God did it. I said, God did it. I mean, that's God excited about somebody, isn't it? That's God excited about somebody. It's like, yeah, y'all, it's okay, I got this. What y'all concerned about? Hey, Paul. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, like an alarm clock went off. He got up. Ooh, this is good. You need to be stoned to death so you can enjoy the power of God. Being scared of everything. You can experience some good stuff if you're willing to die. If you're not afraid of persecution, then you get to see the good stuff. Praise God. All right, so he says, this is a foretaste of the blissful things to come. We groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. Well, let me ask you this. If that is supposed to happen in heaven, who are you being manifested to as God's sons? If everybody up there is God's sons, why you got to be manifested to one another? Huh? Everybody wants to put it all in, I'm going to heaven bag, you know what I'm saying? And put it in that bag. You are to be manifested as God's sons here on earth, which means this foretaste of the blissful things to come, this groaning, this work of the Holy Spirit in us that brings about this manifested glory, because it's going to tell you down here in a few minutes how that takes place. All right, but it says right now we groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. So our bodies can be redeemed in our mortality. We're thinking in terms of immortality. But according to this scripture, our bodies can be redeemed in our mortality. It's possible. Lord Jesus. No wonder this old thing be running to try to do something. Because it's done got a taste of that word coming that says it's going to be redeemed from sensuality and the grave, right? And your body is craving sensuality in the grave. Right? It wants to die. That's why it wants you to eat all that sugar. Amen. Drink all those sugary drinks. It's saying, can't you see I like the grave? Come on, put some more sugar in there. Right? Eat some grease. Amen. Mac and cheese. Banana pudding. Ooh. Oh. Yes. Man, your body, if you gave it all of that stuff, it would just lay back like an old sow in the dirt and just, it would. It would do that. It would love it. Just give it what it wants. Amen? But God says he brings a taste of the, he brings the spiritual, he confers the spiritual endowment on us to give us a taste of the blissful things to come. And if we just continue to minister to that, to make that big in our lives, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside. The light just keeps growing brighter and brighter on the inside of you until all of the darkness just begins to dissipate. It just begins to go. Light will go into every crevice and corner and crack if it has an opportunity. If it's bright enough, it will go into the deepest parts of this carpet. This light right here, we've got, it's not going into the deepest parts of this carpet. It's being blocked out. But you get a light in here bright enough, you'll see a reflection coming up out of the floor, baby. You will. And that's what this bliss, this foretaste is desirous of doing in us. But we've got to groan inwardly for it. We have to agree with it. You understand that? See, we got to have, that's why you said you have a taste, a foretaste. How do you get that? Through the preaching of the gospel. Stuff like this. That's how it comes. You hear it. And that's all the Lord needs is for that seed of through your hearing for you to get it. And he'll take that seed. You might not be all that convinced about it yet. Too late, baby. The seed is in there. Huh? I'm sorry, but the seed is in there, and God's going to nurture that seed. He's going to fertilize that seed, and you will not be able to get away from it. Amen. It may take longer in some folk than it does others, but the seed has been planted, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. So they're not going to be manifested as God's sons in heaven to each other when everybody up there is God's sons. It has to happen here. We'll be manifested to ISIS as the son of God. So they got to drop down their weapons and say, Jesus is Lord. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. See? All right. There's a whole lot that I could get in there, you know, because see, Gene and I, what we're talking about is a revival coming that is far greater than anything we've seen in our lifetime. See, God gave us a foretaste of revivals back in New York. Remember back in New York when revival came? They shut down Wall Street. They shut down the bars. They closed the businesses on Sunday. And people found their way to a church to seek God. Can you believe it? In New York City. Come on now. He's able, God has not lost any of his ability to do that again. But he's got to drop this into somebody's spirit and for them to believe for it, because he doesn't do anything in the earth realm except he first revealed it to his prophets. Oh, it'll change your life to believe for something big like that. It'll change you. Totally radicalize you and take you to another place. And I'm going. I got my ticket. Amen. I'm going to that place. And, you know, hallelujah. And so let's go on. This verse 24. I'm just whetting your appetite for this right here. For in this hope we were saved. Now, you know, you didn't know that you were saved for that hope when you were born again. You had the weight of sin on your shoulders, and it was so heavy. You know, it's interesting, the conviction that comes to bring a person in the kingdom. The weight of sin, you begin to recognize it when the conviction comes. Until the conviction comes, you're walking around, I can handle this. I can hold my liquor, thank you very much. Amen? And you go around and you do all your bad things like it ain't gonna hurt me. I'm Superman, you know. And we just walk around in our sin, all convinced that it's okay. We're not hurting anybody. It's my life. I'll do with it whatever I want to do. But when the conviction of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ comes on your life, then all of a sudden, this all the stuff that you enjoy doing becomes weighty. And it's just, you recognize that it's weighty and it's ugly. And you see yourself in the way that you really, really, really are in that moment. Right? And at the same time, you see presented to you the Lord Jesus. Salvation. Deliverance. And boy, it never looked so good. Oh, yeah. And you accept that, and as soon as you accept that, he comes in. Breaks those bondages and those chains off of your life. Now, that's the kind of power that's supposed to be flowing out of us. Same power. It's resurrection power. But because we weren't born into, I'm talking about a situation where we were nurtured from the time that we were just toddlers up in the things of God, we weren't prepared to just operate in the glory. So he has to bring it to us now in message form so that a hope can be developed on the inside of us. Amen. And that hope, the Bible says, will not bring you to a place where you are ashamed. Let's go on reading this. It says, for in this hope we were saved, but a hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? See, we're not hoping for something that we've already seen. God is bringing messages. He's bringing the word to us to give us vision for something that we haven't really ever seen before. So a new hope is being developed on the inside of you. And it's like Abraham. It's a hope, you know, that is, succeeds and outdoes the former hope. Your former hope was, well, praise God, one day soon my trials will all be over and I'll walk on the shores of glory and I'll see the Lord in that blissful, wonderful place called heaven to live forevermore. And the whole church just pull out their handkerchiefs and they begin to cry. And, oh, Lord, that is so wonderful. I just can't hardly wait. That's where we've been. Amen. God is, and now, listen, there are more prophetic people coming out of the closet now to say that maybe we had the rapture revelation wrong. There are more people coming out of the closet now that are saying this stuff that we've been teaching is an escapist type of theology. And why are they saying that? Because they've tasted. They've got a foretaste of the blissful things to come. And if God just snatches us out of here, he's cutting short his own plan. Not everybody's ready to hear that. That's why I waited till near the end of the sermon to tell you. Amen. I got some other seed in there before I dropped this big old watermelon seed on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you see, this hope will elevate you to a place where you won't be sad about the misinformation that has to do with the rapture. You won't be sad about it. Yeah. I want things to go God's way. See, we will be called up after the dead has been resurrected first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. Right? But it says to be with the Lord forevermore. Right? Well, the Bible teaches that he's going to rule and reign here on the planet 1,000 years. Right? In forevermore, there's no time. 1,000 years is a time period. Hallelujah. A big, wonderful renovation is coming after 1,000 years. Oh, we might get to live during the millennium for 1,000. You might not die. You might not even get your immortal body for 1,000 years. Uh-oh. The roof just came off the church. If you walk into that thing with God and you rule and reign with him, I mean, it's possible that we got the theology wrong. Wouldn't it be nicer to see what it's like to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years than it would be just be raptured out of here, get safe? Amen. You all safe and everything. But you ain't never done nothing. You ain't never accomplished no great feats, nothing supernatural, miraculous, glorious. As God's manifested glory goes through your life, you don't see the Red Sea part. You don't see mountains move. You don't see people come out of their wheelchairs. Cancers fall off in your hand. Garters just, people just swallow them. Just fall off their necks. You don't get to see any of that because you was praying for the rapture. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Uh-huh. What's going to be happening during the millennial reign? We're going to have church like you ain't never seen us have church. I believe people can come to the Lord during the millennial reign. You will not be inhibited. You will have come to the place where your mortal body has been redeemed from sensuality and the grave. And you'll be operating in the manifested glory of God. And man, look at this. You'll be ruling and reigning with Jesus. Everywhere you go, they won't even know if you're the Christ or not unless you tell them. You just might be Jesus. You walking in so much glory. They don't know. I mean, that's as he was when he was in the earth. That's what he said you would be walking in. Oh, Pastor, I'll get some of that as I go up in the rapture. What for? I just need that power to hurry up and get me there. Like a rocket. No, you don't. No, you don't. See, we're having to develop a hope in us to see something in a greater fashion so that we're not having church as usual. But we have real revival, real outreach, a real change to come. You get to operating in this and you don't have to teach as much as I'm teaching now. Because the glory will be manifested and people's needs will be met. Honey, when they fall out in the power, they ain't going to hear nothing no how. As they get their miracles, they're going to be praising and running and leaping and praising God. They don't have time to listen to anything you got to say. Amen? Glory to God. Do you see how God wants to develop a new and a fresh hope in you? Hallelujah. This stuff is so good, there are some people that will hear it, they say, that man right there is a false prophet. You better watch him. It's that good. Yeah. Jesus' message was so good, they say, gee, that's a false prophet. Ooh, you better stay away from that preacher. I'm telling you. I'm warning you, boy. Well, let's see. It says here, for this hope we were saved, right? Now, verse 25 says, but if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. See, you've got a glimpse in it tonight in some of the things that God wants to do. And that's going to help you in the area of patience. See, because you then can attribute your trials, your testing, your tribulations to the fact that God has given me a glimpse into what's coming that I'm supposed to be a part of, to participate in. And that's why I am enveloped in all of these trials and tests and tribulation, because the devil's is put a whirlwind around me to make me think there's no way that you can really be saved, and there's no way you can be a servant of God. And you're losing your mind. This can't be true. And who else is doing this? Well, who else is teaching this? Who else is teaching this? I'm telling you, you better watch that preacher. Who else have you heard say any of these things? Beware, beware. Yeah, you get enveloped in that. And all you got to do is just listen to a little bit of it. It didn't take but just a couple of bites of that apple to mess Adam and Eve. Maybe it wasn't an apple, okay? But whatever the fruit, it didn't take a whole lot, honey. They didn't eat a whole meal. They just tasted a little bit of the wrong thing. And it corrupted all of God's plan for them. Just a little bit. So you're going to have to be convinced in yourself that the message is true. Because you're the one that's going to have to lay down your life. Amen. Amen. You're going to have to lay down your life for this. Amen. Look at verse 26. This is why the Holy Spirit is given to us. That's why it's so important for us to be baptized into, immersed into the Holy Spirit. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. Well, because what God is bringing you into is new. How can you talk to him about it when you just started grasping it? How can you talk to him about it? You have to talk to him about it in tongues. Because what does it say? But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication. You want to talk to God about it. You want to make supplication to God about it. You're going to make supplication to God about it, because that's the only way you can find out that whether I'm telling you the truth or not. So you're going to pray about it, right? But you're going to run out of stuff to say. Amen. Real quick. Right? Some people will be, the extent of their prayer will be, is he a false prophet? Just tell me, Lord. Easy. That'll be the extent of their prayer. They won't go any further than that. They won't go a step further than that. But now, if you're really hungry for the things of God, you're going to have supplication before God. You want God to take you into this truth. Into the truth. And the Holy Spirit meets our supplication and pleads. Why is he having to plead? Because your minds are going 19,000 million miles a minute. And you're not going to say nothing as long as that thing is engaged. You won't say nothing as long as it's engaged. And when your mind is operating like that, the devil can run that fast too. And so he gets you caught up in his thoughts and the emotions that'll take you from God. And all he got to do is send along some of his naysayers. Some folk you've been trying to come to church for years and they won't come. Then they come along and prophesy to you and you accept it. Wow. Pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Oh, you'll pray in tongues and you'll get to a place where you just have to just lay before the Lord and just groan. Because even the tongues are not enough. But the Holy Spirit will just bring groaning through you. Now, this is where travail is very productive. You don't have to be an intercessor to get into the groanings and the intercession of the Holy Ghost, where you just weep and wail before God and unable to speak and just feel like you're being completely emptied and you're just as weak as you can be. Ever been there? It's a good place to be, because the Holy Ghost now is working on the inside of you. I'm not trying to get you involved in some fanatical, flesh out type spiritual stuff. Because if you get into this, it'll be because the Holy Spirit's leading you into it. If I go to the Lord and I bring my supplication in regard to the manifested glory of God and I don't really know how to pray, then I'm going to pray in tongues, and inside I'm going to be saying, "The Lord, now I'm talking to you about the glory. I don't know what to say to you about it, but I'm talking to you right now in my Holy Ghost prayer language about the glory. Amen. That's what I'm directing this to you about." And I'll just go to town. Hallelujah. And just like Oral Roberts taught us, you can interpret it. God will bring interpretation to you. You may not get interpretation to it in your prayer time while you're praying, but God will come back through your pastor or through other teachers, apostles, and prophets, or through your discovering things in the Bible as you read your Bible. He will bring interpretation to you in this regard that's specifically designed to help you on your journey to the manifested glory of God. Amen. Look at verse 27. This is the reason I say that. "And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit and what his intent is." You notice he's not talking about your mind. Need I say that again? "Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will." See? So he's not dealing with your mind. You got to renew your mind. Amen. That's your responsibility. Right? He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is. You know, I would go so far to say, now it says right here, "and he who searches," is talking about God or the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't have to search his own mind because he knows what's in his mind. So this is God or the Lord, right? Now, I will go so far to say this. I don't believe that this is just to be received as specifically just the mind of the Holy Spirit, his person, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. He knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus knows what's in the mind of the Holy Spirit because he put it there. He told the Holy Spirit what to say and what to do. So the Holy Spirit is in submission to Jesus, just like Jesus was in submission to God. Right? So what I'm saying is that your regenerate, born-again spirit also has a mind. Your born-again, regenerate spirit also has a mind. It's just not a flicker of some sort of gas that's on the inside of you that's holy. Some kind of gas or flame that's on the inside of you, you know, as a spirit. This is the Holy Spirit of God. And he has a mind. Now watch this. He knows what's in the mind of your born again, regenerate spirit. Right? "Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will." Well, the Bible says that your spirit cries, "Abba, Father." Your born again regenerate spirit also cries out to his Father, God. So what's that? That's intercession. Amen. Your born again regenerate spirit knows the will of God for you. And he's crying out, "Father, Father," with the mind that understands everything about who you are and what you're supposed to be involved in. Now, this will make sense to you now. Even a person that's not filled with the Spirit, but they're born again, if they try to give themselves to doing something that's not right, they get a check in their spirit. Well, why would the Holy Spirit within you, that's your born again regenerate spirit, check you if it didn't know what God's will was for your life? Hold up, hold up.
doesn't say it that loud.
I'm just getting my point across. He way down in there. He probably is going, hold up, hold up. But because he's way down in there, we go, all we know is,
something told me.
Amen. How many have been delivered from calling the Holy Spirit something? He told me. My born-again regenerate spirit tells me things too. Now that just gets amplified when you get filled, you get immersed into the Holy Spirit himself as a person. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 28. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor. Whose labor? He just stopped talking about, he just was talking about the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's labor in you. And you're born again, regenerate spirit, laboring with the Holy Spirit that you've been baptized or immersed into. And your knowledge of the Word of God that you've received. Right? All of that, those three things you are laboring with God in. The Word that you've received, the Holy Spirit that you've been immersed into. That's why we call it baptism in the Holy Spirit. And your born again, regenerate spirit that... Your spirit was, you had the spirit, you know, you are a spirit, right? And even when you're unsaved, honey, you're still a spirit, right? You have a soul and you live in a body, even as an unreborn person, spiritually. So when you're born again, that unborn, unregenerate spirit now has been regenerated in God. So that born-again, regenerate spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, that's a trinity of God at operation in you. Right? And you are laboring together in God, right, to come to these things. And we are assured to know that God being a partner in their labor, God's a partner with you in that labor, all things work together. Boy, there's some things I wonder about. How about you? Come on, if you be honest, right? Ooh, Jesus. But all things, how much is all? See, God has designed this in such a way that he hasn't left out anything in respect to you because you're different from me. I'm different from you. You've had different experiences. You've been impressed by different things. All of that is true for every individual on the face of the earth who has a different personality. But God is all things to all of us. He is the great I am. I am that I am, and I will be whatever I need to be for you. And he says that because you've got different issues than me. I got different issues from you. You think your issues are more important than mine. That's why you don't pray for me. Shame on you. You know you pray for yourself more than you pray for me. I'm gonna get mad if I keep talking about that. I repent. Praise the Lord. Be angry and sin not. Oh my. All things work together and are fitting into a plan. Can you see? This is why I like stuff like Sherlock Holmes. Find out who done it. I am an investigative nut. I love looking into this stuff and trying to, with my own personal mind, determine and discriminate and make judgments as I look at it to see who the culprit really is. I can't help it. God takes some fiction with me, man, and it'll turn me on to something in the spirit. But that's just the way I'm built. Everybody's not like that. That's the way I'm built. See, I'm not going to judge you for liking to go out there and get up in a tree with a bow and arrow and dress up and look like a tree to wait on one deer to come by so you can shoot it. You go right ahead. Sounds awful foolish to me when I can just wait till you kill it and you have you bring me a whole bunch over there already dressed and ready to eat. Amen. So we're all different. It's not to be judged. Now you can pray that I'll have wisdom with it. Right? I'll pray that you have wisdom with it. Amen. But I'm not to be judged because of that. All things are working together for good, fitting into a plan. Amen. See? For good. That's what I like about it. It's fitting into a plan for good. To and for those who love God. That's what qualifies me. That's why I can claim this scripture, because I know I love me some God. Amen. Amen. And are called according to his design and purpose. God's design and purpose is what got me into so much trouble. God's design and purpose is the reason why so many people has left my church. It's because of God's design and purpose. God's design and purpose exudes out of me in my message and in the way I deliver things. And if you're not ready to receive that, the best thing for you to do is just wrap, roll your tent up, pull, you know, and just put it on your camel and leave. That's the best thing for you to do. And make sure that you get to where you're going before the Sabbath. That's the best thing. I mean, I can't tell you to do it. They over there going, peace, Pastor, peace. I know, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Oh, <geez. laughs> No. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. All right. All right. Yeah, pray for me. Okay. It's fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. We just don't have a right to judge God's ministers. Man, the Lord has been driving that home to me here recently so strong. There are some people that I've seen minister, and they get into some of the stuff that they're talking about, and I'm sitting there going, are they for real? You know? I mean, I'm not going to call any names, but I've sat under some folk that are so expressive and dramatic, and you looking at me going, what about you, Pastor? The same stuff that I'm doing, I can see somebody else do it. It'll rub me the wrong way. Isn't that crazy? But then because I've learned this lesson, I'm patient, and I sit there and I listen to them. And boy, when they get to the end of it, it is awesome. Awesome. Heard some stuff just this week while on vacation. Ooh, Jesus. And I had to sit there, and I'm listening, you know, and I'm watching. And then it just unfolds, and I'm like, dear Lord. See there, I ain't ever seen that. Who am I? I ain't ever seen that. So share some stuff I ain't ever seen. Awesome, good stuff. All right. I got to hurry up. I got 1 minute. 45 seconds. 30 seconds. Oh, Jesus. Verse 29. For those whom he foreknew. Did he foreknew you? Of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. Now, that's why you are subjected to a certain word, because he knew you beforehand in this revelation. Now, you might have to work to really get it and to just wrap your heart and mind around it. And you might have to make all kinds of changes, dear Lord, you know. And sometimes I wish, I'm like, that's why I said some stuff about Kenneth Hagin today. He talking about back in 1950, God gave him this and that and the other. And I'm thinking, dear God, I was saved in 1974. I missed all of that stuff. 54 years or 50 years. What? No, I'm not. I have my math all wrong. I'm just drunk in the Holy Ghost. 20-something years. I missed that, man. Isn't that amazing? He also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son,
and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. That's what we're walking into, folks.